So we've got the GCSB and Bill and Jacqueline Taylor here to talk about it. Hi, Jacqueline.
Kia ora, Sharon. Good morning. Good morning, Waiheke radio listeners. Okay, I just want to run something quickly by you, if you're listening. Mass surveillance is security. Privacy is subversion. Dissent and discontent with our government is the new economic, local or central terrorism. So I'll tell you what, Sharon, let's not talk about the GCSB. Let's talk about snapper quotas, because they're absolutely more important. Well, anyway, Mr. Key thinks so.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Well, we have been talking about snapper quotas, which are incredibly important.
They are.
If we overfish the Gulf, it's all going to be gone. But tell us about what this is all about, because I think people are a bit... Well, maybe possibly.
Please don't use the word confused. People are not confused. People are concerned. That is a totally different C word. Confused and concerned are two totally different things. And to be honest with you, talking to different people, as many other people have done, including John Campbell, some of the reporters, the media, people are not ignorant about this. They may not have all the information, because of course the people that give out the information have a particular message to give to people. And in a democracy, what we need to be able to do is make our own decisions based on our own knowledge, our own common sense of what's right and wrong.
Mm. So what are we actually talking about? What is the GCSB?
Okay.
Because some people think it's a, you know, we've already got a surveillance society. So how is this significantly different and why should we be concerned?
All right. So basically the GCSB is one part of the government's ability to pick up on cyber surveillance, other issues that are really quite important. But up until now, it has been an agency that has completely and utterly concentrated on the international side of things, not on the domestic side of things. And of course, most people would not have even heard of the GCSB were it not for a gentleman, a rather large gentleman called Kim.com. And of course, Kim.com came to this country as would-be resident and was actually turned down. Not too many people know that. But to get to the point, he was turned down initially and then suddenly, miraculously, over a period of time, he was allowed residency, which he was granted residency, which made him a resident. Now, the GCSB, as set up, as John Key was states recently, under Labour, or when the law was tightened up under Labour in 2003. As a resident, Kim.com, like New Zealanders, was not allowed to be spied on by the GCSB or surveyed or anything like that. The problem came when the GCSB didn't actually understand its own remit. The SIS can do this, but the GCSB couldn't. Now, the problem is the GCSB did do this. That was acknowledged. It was admitted. And Mr. Key actually apologised to it, which was wonderful of him because it was true. However, what happened when we actually went into the detail of that, as Mr. Campbell did, John Campbell on Campbell Live, was it was actually quite complicated, because not only did the GCSB break its own rules and laws, unfortunately the police did, and everybody else involved with it did, and then it all got extremely confusing. So let's go right back to where we are now. What we are trying to do now with the GCSB bill, the amendment bill, which would never have come up, actually, were it not for MrKim.com. In the same way, if you'll allow me, in America, people would not have been talking about PRISM, or they would not have been talking about the NSA. They would not have been talking about spying on ordinary Americans. None of that if Mr. Edward Snowden hadn't actually had a moment at his desk and gone, wait a minute, this is absolutely dreadful, what we can actually do on our own people, never mind on the war on terrorism or anything else. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to link everything links on a level, everything that we do, everything that we say, everything, whether we're a politician or an ordinary person worried about their snapper quota, actually links. So do ask me questions, Sharon.
So I guess the question is, you know, you get all these names bandied around, GCSB, SIS, PRISM, but effectively, you know, it comes down to that thing of like, well, if you've done something wrong, you should expect someone to find out about it. And so what's the big deal?
Okay. So this that's lovely. I'm glad you brought that up, because I have had that out on the streets when I have been talking to people in, let's say, Nikki Kaye's electorate. Now, Nikki Kaye is a young national MP who is very much of the people. You'll be familiar with her on Waiheke. I think she's done a few things on Waiheke and listened to people, which is wonderful. So we approached Nikki Kaye, we being Penny Bright and myself, in the sense of we believe, all right, that the people should have input in what our government does. That's what we elect them for. So we appealed to Nikki Kaye by asking her if she would look at this GCSB bill amendment to make sure that it was all right. And obviously, she's very busy with other things. The Fonterra thing blew up, and she was too busy. So what we did was we went on the streets of Ponsonby into her electorate, and we asked people, do you understand what this GCSB amendment bill does? And do you believe that, you know, the government, through this agency, should be able to change the law to actually look at New Zealanders, residents or citizens' information, just in case they might be doing something awful? So never mind nothing to... You know, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Blanket, which they obviously won't do to everybody because it would be far too expensive. But let's say someone like me, nothing to hide, nothing to fear, but obviously speaking to this subject and perhaps someone doesn't want me to. Let's say they go back through all my emails, through all my telephone conversations, and maybe find that I said something slightly inappropriate about someone in authority a long time ago. And actually ring me up and say, well, actually, Jacqueline Taylor, I don't want you to go on Waiheke Radio and talk to Sharon Brown on this subject. I would rather you were quiet, actually, and I got on with it and just talked about snapper quotas. And I went, well, no, actually, I think it is really important, because I'm quite concerned that people who need to discuss subjects that are very close to their heart and they may think are wrong have the ability to do so. In a democracy, that's what we do. We can't always agree with everything. Now, the problem is, Mr. Key says, nothing to fear, nothing to hide, you have no problem, New Zealanders. All the other politicians, the national politicians that we've seen interviewed, say similar. Or they say, no, this bill is necessary, this spy agency is necessary for child pornography, for these Al-Qaeda trained terrorists who apparently have affiliations in New Zealand. Goodness knows, lots of things. Now we've even got the soccer final that's coming up here, the junior soccer. We needed it for the Rugby World Cup. We needed it for all these different things. The bottom line, unfortunately, though, is the people that train our politicians to tell us what they want us to hear don't always reach all of them. And I would like to quote one of the national MPs who I believe really spoke from the heart and really actually gave us the answer that all of you need to know, and that concerns many people who are going to be talking to this subject again on Monday night at the town hall. All right. I suggest you get there early. By the way, I think it starts at 7. Do get there early. There are going to be a lot of people. And I want you to quote and just let this sink in, please. Okay, so this gentleman, Tau Henare, who I believe spoke from the heart, Kia ora, Tau, if you're listening, can you imagine this scenario? We didn't do anything with the GCSB legislation. Something goes wrong, and they all blame John Key. And then, do you know what he said? I think there are people, and you hear the chatter, and that is the word people use, chatter. And I think that is when people like the GCSB will be interested in you, when you have something against your own country. I sat there and I listened to that and I went, pardon? Something against your own country? My goodness, I love New Zealand. I love New Zealand to bits. The 25 years I've been here to and fro from Waiheke. I love this country. I don't always agree with my government, though. In fact, I certainly don't, whether they're a Labour government or a national government. I wouldn't say I'm against my government, but I would say that there are some things that my government does that I'm very concerned about, much more concerned about than snapper quotas, actually.
Mm.
The point being, all right, that when you have something against your country, or that is how it is perceived, that opens up a whole realm, a whole new bar for surveillance, as Russell Brown actually said, and that takes it a long way from criminal activity, doesn't it?
Okay, so how is this, what are the details of the amendment that make it significantly different from what's happened before?
Okay,
can you talk to that? So yeah, like the specifics,
yes, very quickly,
of why we should be particularly concerned.
Yeah, so what is actually problematic, and this was actually described very well on Radio Live just on the 16th, all right, so I'm going to cut straight to the chase here. Basically, when you are being given information, whether you believe the information or not is entirely up to you. But what you have to actually ask yourself is, if I believe this information, who benefits? Always, always. The information that I am being given, who benefits if I believe this? Is the information correct? Is the information twisted in some way or changed in some way to make me believe it and make it important? So here we go. The government Communications Security Bureau, Mr. Key says, will now have to get an extra warrant to look at all the communications it collects on cybersecurity matters. So that's anything online, yeah? And this is on top, Mr. Key says, of the warrant it already has to get. Having said that, he actually said on Campbell Live that the GCSB couldn't look at emails, but it's now he's promising that it won't without his explicit say-so. So already that information has changed from, I think it was Wednesday night when Mr. Key was on Campbell Live, to Friday. The information has changed. Now, for me, that is quite concerning, that I've been told one thing, and if I was to have believed that and switched off and said, that's fine, Mr. Key says that this is the case, I wouldn't be worried. Now, looking at something else which other people may not have listened to or seen, he says that this warrant is necessary and another warrant is necessary. However, in the small print, it also says this extra warrant will not apply to the GCSB spying on people or undertaking surveillance on them. Are you confused?
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah, well, I'm very confused. And this is the problem. Mr. Key actually said that New Zealanders are confused, that there's been a lot of fear-mongering, there's a lot of scaremongering by the opposition, by lots of people who actually aren't experts. And that brings me on to the people who aren't experts. And these are people who are going to be speaking at this meeting, have already spoken to Campbell Live. These are QCs. These are the Law Society. These are journalists who have been considered subversives. These are people who basically would have something to fear, possibly, and something to hide if they were in opposition, unions, activists. Now, an activist, to me, is someone who cares about their community, and as long as they do everything in a law-abiding manner, an activist is just a person that works for their community in an active way. We are all actually activists. When we went out to talk to Nikki Kaye, who after 500 signatures were sent to her, had the grace, good on her, to come back to us and to actually say, look, I've looked at what you've said. The amendments now that Mr. Peter Dunn is bringing in will make it all okay, Jacqueline and Penny. So it's all good. It's all good. So I'm going to vote for it. And we're going, Nikki, no. Please have a look at the amendments that Peter Dunn has proposed for the amendments. And actually, they don't do anything. Mr. Key has just given us that clue in that Radio Live.
Yeah, I think it's what I always find with all of this stuff is it's really distressing because it's not my field of expertise.
No.
And yet I'm expected, I feel like I'm expected as a, you know, citizen of New Zealand to wade through this stuff and make sense of it. But essentially what I do get a sense of is that it's being pushed through duress And what I don't understand is why something which is about surveillance of the New Zealand population becomes an issue that MPs vote on, and it becomes something that, well, if National won the election, they all vote for it, and if the and people in opposition vote against it. And it seems to me that these kinds of issues need to be things that people can have a conscience vote on, and aren't about what side of the political spectrum you are, because ultimately we all suffer if we're surveilled and if we feel that the things we say aren't private and if everything can be accessed. And the thing that concerned me in the Campbell Live interview was the fact that John Key said, well, you know, if you haven't done anything wrong, you've got nothing to fear, and we can't possibly surveil anyone, so we're looking at 9 people a year. But the point is, what you do is you create a situation of increased insecurity and fear, which, you know, every intrusion into the private sphere adds to additional fear on behalf of people who express opinions, and creates conditions where people don't want to say how they feel about things. And part of a working democracy is that people can express how they feel about what's going on at the local level, at the government level, at the national level, at, you know, international level.
You've put that really beautifully. And look, it is complicated, and it is much easier to have done submissions on snapper quota. That's black and white. You either agree that the snapper quota needs to be limited, or you think that somewhere in between the three and the whatever it is now is the That's awesome. That's great. This is a lot more complicated. So let me go back and repeat what I said to you right at the beginning. All right. Mass surveillance is security. Privacy is subversive. Dissent and discontent with our local or central government is the new economic terrorism. So let's talk snapper quotas. Snapper quotas are more important than snooping. The bottom line to this is not true. As Shirin has said, basically lots and lots of people are worried, are concerned. Even the MPs, I believe, who are having to vote on this, do not know enough about how far-reaching some of these bits of the legislation are, or how can I put it, how not tight they are. Now, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe that everybody's emails and telephone conversations are going to be surveyed and listened to. But what I do think is that we have seen time and time again over the last 6 or 7 years, or even longer, that some of our ministries, Their records are not safe, their systems are not safe, and everything can be open to abuse. It has happened in other countries. If we're concerned about cybersecurity, hacking and other things like that, we should be concerned about what is held and what people have access to. Not necessarily the people that say that they are doing this for our good, for our concern. And also, if this was a right or a left issue, instead of a right and a wrong issue, then let me put a proposal to you. If next year this government does not make it with the help of Mr. John Banks or Mr. Peter Dunn, who are arguably interesting people who... I think Mr. Dunn said that, yes, a deal was done because there was a willing buyer and a willing seller. I've personally found that quite worrying myself. Given that Mr. Banks has a few problems with his memory over certain things and not other things, I think that's a concern too. But let's say these people do not get back into government next year. Let's say that the Greens get back, Labour get in, Mana get in. Would those opposition MPs who will now be National, possibly not United Futures, the War Act, Maori Party, would these people be quite open to having all their metadata? Metadata being the information in emails, in cell phone messages that just says where they were, the same sort of things that Andrea Vance and Peter Dunn had put out there, not with warrants. Okay? Would they be comfortable with all that becoming public knowledge? I don't think they would. So the bottom line on this is you need to make your own mind up. I can't I can't make you scared. I can't make you care more than snapper quotas. But what I can say to you is your right in a democratic society not to have all your information out there for scrutiny by someone if you don't have anything to hide and nothing to fear.
Well, I think it's more by someone when we talk about police and authority. That's the someone, really.
Two last minute things, please. So if you want to know, you do not have to physically be at the town hall on Monday night at 7 o'clock. It will be streamed live. You can make your own mind up on the dailyblog.co.nz. Okay, so that's one way of you getting some of this information. The other way of you getting some of this information is if you go to a website, www.occupyaucklandversusaucklandcouncilappeal.org.nz, you can actually read for yourselves how people who are not against the government, but people who are concerned about some of the things that the government does not appear to be that knowledgeable about what they're doing, have actually done, taking petitions to the streets, asking individual MPs by letter to please clarify this, not rush it. It's in all our interest. This, to me, is as important as New Zealanders standing up against the nuclear issue.
So who should we be lobbying? Is there someone we should be lobbying?
You should be lobbying every single one of the MPs that you know are going to vote for this legislation, not against it. That is every single, so far, National MP, and of course, the Honourable Mr. Tun, or Mr. John Banks. I will call him Defendant John Banks because I was actually outside the courtroom on Thursday and he is having a private prosecution being taken out against him on the donations situation.
Right, okay, yeah. But that's another issue. Yeah. And so, yes, okay, so Monday night, 7 p.m, if you're in town or you feel like going over, that's for the public meeting Stop the GCSB, and there's lots of really erudite and, well, knowledgeable speakers.
Very much. Can I just do a really
journalists quick? Yeah. And you want to say?
So Nikki Hager, Russell Norman, Honey Haruwa, Marima Davidson, David Shearer, Selby Woodhouse, Dr. Rodney Harrison, and actually even Kim.com. Now, the thing is, you may say, oh my goodness me, all those people, they're not the kind of people that I want to hear. There are many other people there. That town hall is going to be full. If that is not what you want to do, then at least look up Radio New Zealand News, look up Spy Agency to Face Email Snooping Restrictions, read it line by line by line.
It's really pleasing that in the last 2 weeks that there was a bit of filibustering in the House, that the press agencies are getting a bit more traction on the fact that the GCSB is a threat to them.
The GCSB...
Well, all of us, but will affect them more than others. So it's really great that Campbell Live's, sticking up and reporting on it more, Radio New Zealand.
Yes, not just Campbell Live. Waiheke Radio, all radio stations, all newspapers... Every kind of community aspect need to have a say on this. We all need to have a say on this. So basically, all we're asking you to do is have a look, see if this makes sense to you. None of us, hopefully, have got anything to hide. Let's hope we won't have anything to fear a long way down the track when perhaps a government not like this one, not like the next one, will actually say, I don't want to hear people talking against this or against that. And they will use whatever information they have collected on you and your family to do so. And that is something to fear and possibly something to hide from. Thanks very much, Shirin. And I look forward, hope to see many of you there or listening and caring. And I hope your snapper quota don't get restricted either. Thank
Lovely.
You.
Lovely. Okay, great. Thanks, Jacqueline. So we've got Mary and Megan who've come in to... just grab a chair and pull it round. Great. Lovely. So tell us, what are you on Waiheke for today?
Well, first of all, we're just so happy to be here because as Mary and I came in by that wonderful ferry, we just looked at the island and said, oh my gosh, we actually just don't come here enough. And when we do, it's not necessarily for the, what I would call, right reason. And this time it absolutely is. There's a young girl, Kavana Jade, who lives here on the island. She's not very well. She's a 14-year-old girl. She has a terrible respiratory lung disease. And as she's been getting older, it's actually been getting progressively worse. And basically her mum has got to the stage where she cannot really sustain things so much on her own. And as mothers, and women, I guess, you know, you don't always want to ask for help. And I think she's now got to that part and that point of her life of saying, hey, I can't do this on my own. I need help. I need support. I also need financial help. And so her mum, Carolyn, has organised this event. It's called Design Style, an aid of her daughter and to raise funds for her daughter. It's tonight at the venue. They're on the Strand in Onitangi. And basically what it is they've asked people, they don't just want people to give money. They feel people should be able to get something from the evening. So they've organised a design style night where they've asked people to donate garments of all sorts, good quality garments. And basically people are going to be provided entertainment, food and nibbles, drinks, and they'll have the chance to be able to pick up some really cool garments for like $5. And at the end of the night, we will have a design style auction. So some of the designer gear will be auctioned off. And we've been donated some fabulous prizes.
Some normally clothes that might be quite nice, but then you've also got some really nice designer stuff.
Yes, we do.
We do indeed. We've actually been really lucky. Oh, goodness, that is very loud. We've been very lucky to be donated garments similar to Tralise Cooper, Alana Hill, Heaven and Home. The caftanqueen.com.au have sent some beautiful caftans from Australia. A woman that dresses Megan and I for various events. Ralph Lauren. So there is a collection of things. One of the most exciting pieces for many of your listeners that are of the male demographic is Megan's husband, who is
not available for auction. No,
he's not available for auction. Right. He's my favourite former All Black. Peter Alatini has donated a fantastic former All Black jersey that has been signed by 40 of some of New Zealand's most current and former All Blacks, John Kerwin, Colin Meads, Frank Bunce. That's just to name a few. So that, as I understand, is going online today for auctioning, and that's actually going to run through until the end of the month. And of course, the highest bid will go to the person. The person who bids the highest will obviously receive the jersey. So I mean, it's also based on a whole heap of communities. So the community have really backed Carolyn and Kavana in this. I think that's important to recognise that there are a number of people that have been involved in putting this day and tonight together. That without their support, it wouldn't happen. So
lovely. So it's 7 o'clock. Can we still get tickets?
Yeah, absolutely. I believe there are tickets available just at the door. So $25 for Unibles, and I think you get your first drink with that. I also want to inform people, with it being Kavana, being this young 14-year-old girl, something that's really neat and something I think Caroline has really, I think she's done really well in setting this up as a bit of a design style pamper day for the teenagers. So right now, as we speak, there are some young girls down at the venue, and they had some time with guest speakers, stylists, makeup artists, groomers, and just really talking about self-esteem, well-being, and encouraging young ones to be themselves, but also to give them the chance to speak with professionals and, you know, be a little bit glitz and glam, you know. And I think they have an intimate group of about 20 youngsters there today.
Wow, quite a few.
But I think this is something that's going to pretty much continue through as time goes by, and I think it's just really neat for the girlies to get together.
Lovely. And all those kids can go along tonight as well, presumably.
Absolutely.
Lovely. Yeah. So there's no, is there an age limit? Is it like sort of 14 and up or?
For tonight, you mean? No, there's no age limit. I mean, obviously it's designed at the older, adult demographic if you're looking at some of the garments that we've seen. But Megan and I have only just literally hit the ground running here, and we've been to the venue and seen that there is such a collection of garments that are already there. And I know that there are people still dropping off stuff. So if you do have anything that is, and you're not far from the Strand, the team is still at the venue setting stuff up with a whole range of stuff. I think also because the island is so community driven, it's important for Carolyn to get the message out from what she told us this morning, that she's just being so grateful for the help and assistance, not just with this, but also, you know, since Kavana kind of since they've moved to Waiheke Island from the mainland, if you like. And yeah.
Lovely. Great. Well, thank you very much, ladies, for coming in and telling us all about what's going on.
No problem. Do come. It's going to be so much fun. Mary and I will be making sure that there's some crazy fun laughter and things happening. There's a cool...
That's what we do well.
Are you emceeing? We do that. Yeah. We're emceeing and hosting and, you know, I might even sing a tune.
I was just about to kind of say, if you recognise the voice, it is indeed Mrs. Megan Alatini. And they tell me you did used to sing once upon a time and you still can. So I think I might be... I might choose to.
You know,
swing
you know those miming rule. I know those rumors were out there, and people thought we mimed because we were just so fabulous. But actually, it was just us.
It is true. So I do know that True Bliss can sing. Yes, you're quite right. So yes, I'll ensure Megan sings a song or two or five.
Yeah. So whether you're coming for garments or just to come and say hi or come for a boogie, they've got a really cool DJ. I mean, that aside, really just come and support this wonderful young girl who really deserves it, and her mum who is working so hard. And it's wonderful to see the Waiheke community getting involved and behind this young family. But, you know, we can always do more. So if you can, come along and join us.
Lovely. Well, it sounds magic. Yes. Great. Good. Well, thanks very much.
It's okay.
Thank you for having us.
And
What a cool little studio. I can see why people come to Waiheke Island to live.
To show the guys at Ponsonby Radio. Have you seen this?
Yes, indeed. That's a priceless view. Oh,
I don't know. You get these ladies on the radio, you can't get them off, eh? We're going to have to get the police. Excuse me. Time for the next show. Yeah. Get them off. Oh, thanks so much. Great. Right. I'm just going to put on another. What have we got here? Something easy. Cornerstone.
Should we get Megan to sing?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to sing something? Do you want to?
That's a good idea. Oh, she's looking at me like she doesn't know what she wants to do. Of course she can. Yes, of course.
Oh, look, if you'd love to, that would be great. Yes, great.
What are we saying? Any requests?
Any requests? Well, I don't know. Is there a theme song for Waiheke Island? Or does that just...
Well, there is.
Do you have a...
No, not particularly. Something that you like.
I mean, there's something ethnic. I mean, let's... Ethnic?
I mean, there is a waiata for Waiheke and Te Hurihi, but I don't know what it is, and you probably wouldn't know what it is.
No, Megan wouldn't know.
Sing one of my old favourites.
You do that.
Easy listening.
Great. This is very ooh, cheeky of me to put her on the spot. I mean, putting her on the spot on a stage.
Finish Island Life with this.
Indeed. Great. Megan Alatini.
Thank you very much. You'll get it later.
Long ago, and oh so far away, I fell in love with you before the second show. And your guitar, it sounds so sweet and clear, but you're not really here. It's just the radio. Don't you remember you told me you love me, baby? Ooh, you said you'd be coming back this way again, baby. And baby, 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 oh, baby. I love you, I really do.
There you go, people, Waiheke Radio. Wow, that was magic. Thank you very, very much. Lovely. That's Mary and Megan Alatini, and they're on tonight emceeing at the Kavanagh Jade fundraiser at the Strand. Thank you so much, ladies.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.